just still does not sound right, or my ears are stopped up, one of the two. Ruth, probably a little bit of both. Ruth, chapter number 2. This morning, I preached out of Ruth, chapter number 1, and talked about the decisions that were made in the book of Ruth. Elimelech, he made a decision to flee. He ran. He ran. Naomi, she made a decision to return. Orpha, she made a decision to reject. And then Ruth made a decision to rely on the God of Naomi. Amen? And this is ringing down here a little bit, Levi. And then Ruth chapter number 2. In chapter number 1, we see maybe a type or a picture of her salvation, where she gets brought out of the land of Moab into the land of promise, into God's land. Amen? The house of Bethlehem, Judah. She gets brought out of one way of life into another. By the way, when you got saved, you were supposedly brought out of one way of life into another. This lifestyle evangelism stuff makes me want to vomit. Amen. Say it again. Makes me want to vomit.
Yes, sir.
When we stood and protested against that, what was the name of the little magazine, Brother William? I'm still ringing. Southern Voice magazine. It's a statewide gay newspaper. And they were handing that thing out at knee level. Their shelf was down here at Blockbuster, knee level. They were free for the taking. And the cover of that gay publication had Big Bird on the front of it. So it sounds to me like a bunch of sodomites was, hey, it's Sunday night and we on the radio. I'm going to say what I want. Amen. It sounded to me like a bunch of sodomites was targeting children.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, if I walk in a store and there's free magazines and one's got Quarter Horses on it and one's got Harley Davidsons on it and one's got Big Bird, guess which ones I'm going to grab? I'm going to have a Quarter Horse magazine and I'm going to have a Harley Davidson magazine. I ain't got no interest in Big Bird. But them little children do. And we stood up and we weren't protesting gays. We was protesting that paper. Amen. I had a man call me on the phone and said, yes, is this the pastor? I can't even mock him. Is this the pastor? I said, yes, it is. How dare you, and shame on you. I'm a pastor too. I said, you're a what? He said, I'm a pastor too. I said, you're a pastor? And you're one of them?
Yeah.
Brother, me and that guy had it out on the phone. I said, you got a Bible handy? I said, I don't even care if it's a full of trash, straight out of hell, NIV. Open it. I want to show you something. And you know what he said? Oh, it doesn't really matter to me what your Bible says. He's supposed to be a preacher. You know what we want? Brother Greg was talking about it in the prayer room with a job situation. He said, I'm going to get to have my cake and eat it too. We want to be saved and know we're going to heaven and live any old flippant way we want to live. I'm sorry, people, that ain't the Bible way. I know that's not popular preaching these days. These days it's all Joel Osteen and all smiles and warm and fuzzy and your inner bigger better you and all that bunch of garbage. But that's what it is. It's a bunch of garbage. Amen. This ain't even in my notes, but it's coming out. Amen. Picture of her salvation, brother. Her lifestyle has changed. Even her location has changed. She moved out of one place into another. Hey, when I got saved, Brother Atkins, I moved out of sin, and I moved out of that old house of sin, and I moved into a house of grace. Hallelujah. I moved out from under condemnation. Amen. Up under redemption. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm glad when I changed, when I got saved, not only did my outward appearance change, but my inside changed. Amen. My place in life changed when I got saved. Naomi, now Ruth has changed from the land of Moab, which God said is my washpot, and now she's living in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, where she said, where you live, I'll live, where your people will be my people, where you die, I'll die, where you're buried, I'll be buried, where your God is will be my God, amen? Now chapter number 2, we're going to pick up, we saw in chapter number 1, maybe a picture of the salvation of Ruth, or Ruth's salvation. Look at chapter number 2. And I want you to know, if you got a Scofield Bible, it's got it right there in your heading. I want you to notice Ruth serving. Ruth serving. Do you know what comes after salvation? Do you know what you're referred to in the Bible after you're saved? A servant. You are a saint of God. Sainthood, by the way. I'm glad I don't live in the north and have to explain everything. Amen. You mentioned sainthood in the north, and you've got to teach new converts in the north when they get saved that sainthood is not something you earned and is not so many steps to sainthood. When you get saved, you are a saint of God. Amen. But as a saint, we are servants. Paul introduces himself time and again as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say to you tonight, servant in our society is a bad word and it's a low word, but I can't think of anything I'd rather be tonight than a servant of the living God. Hey, when me and that preacher right there straddles the pulpit, when he goes in the prison, when I go in a revival meeting, you know what we're doing? We are representing the kingdom of heaven. We are representing the Lord of lords and the King of the King of Kings. Hey, bless God, we are God's servants. Amen. Now, I kind of think that's an honorable thing to be. Amen. Whether you're doing it behind a pulpit or behind a podium in a Sunday school class or on a bus that rolls out of the parking lot or whether you're doing it up here next Saturday at a fundraiser for a little old crippled girl, it matters not. Hey, we get to be the servants of God. If you're saved and not serving, you're souring.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say that right. You're either serving, if you're saved, you're either serving or you're sour.
Yes.
I know a bunch of sour Christians. Amen.
Amen.
I preach to them week in and week out. You know what that crowd does that don't serve? They sit back and judge the serving of everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Bless God, I'm here to tell you if I was doing that. Well, you ain't. Shut your mouth. I give him a Joel there. How about it?
Yeah.
If you're not doing it, keep your nose out of it.
Amen.
You know what? You ought to be so busy doing what you're doing for God, you ain't got time to critique what everybody else is doing.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, read the Bible. I'm on a tangent right now. I'll read it in a minute. Amen. You're either serving or you're silent. The happiest Christians I know are doing something for God. They're preaching in a jail. They're preaching in a rescue mission. They're holding a sign for the street preachers in the street. They're handing out gospel tracts. They're teaching a Sunday school class. They're working a bus route. They're doing something. Every disgruntled Christian I know ain't doing nothing for the cause of Christ. Amen. You know, the only people that come to me and gripe around here, Emmett ain't doing a whole lot. Y'all okay? Smile. Y'all all right? Those are the ones, I promise you, it's that way in every church, everywhere you go.
Yes, sir.
Those who do the least complain the most.
Amen.
You know what? It's probably that way on your job, too.
Yes, sir.
That's human nature. That's human nature. When you're not busy, you're looking for what's wrong.
That's right.
Amen. You could go on the average public work job tomorrow and ask people, what's wrong with this company? Oh, they got a list. They've got a list. We used to have, Brother Clinton, you remember, we used to have meetings all the time with Melvin. He's in heaven now, praise the Lord. But we'd have meetings. He'd say, anybody got anything on your mind? And there's a couple old guys. There's one retired guy from the Air Force, and his middle name was Cuss, I think, if you remember right. I mean, boy, he would lie to him every time. Melvin would say, anybody got anything? And he'd look to him. You remember that? And brother, he'd tell you, yeah, this ain't right, and this ain't right, and this ain't right. Never did I hear anybody say, raise their hand and say, thank God I got a job.
Yes,
thank God I'm not standing in the welfare line.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen. Thank God. Thank God this place is here. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. We're by nature, we're gripers.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So in Ruth chapter number 1, we see her salvation. In Ruth chapter number 2, we see her serving. Let's look at verse number 1. I have some glasses somewhere. In verse number 1, the Bible said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now let me just notice, we're going to look at some things about gleaning tonight. That's what I want to talk about, gleaning. You know what gleaning means? It means to pick up after.
That's right.
It means to pick up the leftovers. That's what the gleaners did. The gleaners went behind those who harvested the crop, and they picked up everything that was left over. Now, us deer hunters, if we want a corn farmer, if we're hunting on a cornfield, we want him to leave some for the deer. Amen? So that's the same thing. That's kind of gleaning. Those reapers, they would drop ears of corn, they would drop grain, and the gleaners would come behind. And by the way, they were usually poor people. The gleaners were usually poor people. They're just picking up what somebody else dropped and left behind. Amen? And we're going to talk about gleaning a little bit tonight. Listen, she got saved in chapter number 1. She moved from Moab to the house of Judah. And in chapter number 2, she immediately begins to serve. And nobody had to tell her to. Nobody had to say, all right now, you're not living in Moab no more. We work over here. Nobody had to set her down. She said, I'm going. She said, I'm going, let me go, I pray thee, and glean in one of the fields. Let me go and glean. You know what? There was something inside of her wanted to give back for where God had brought her to. Hey, there ought to be something inside of her. Hey, you get saved by the grace of God, all your sins forgiven. There ought to be something inside of you saying, hey, what can I do for Jesus Christ? Amen. Brother, when I got saved, there was something inside me itching. I mean itching. Jason, I got saved in your front yard. You was just a little bitty boy. How old are you now? 34. Yeah, you just a little old bitty feller. When I got saved in his front yard, immediately, that was on a Friday night. We went to church on a Sunday morning. And in my mind, I remember it like it was yesterday. Brother Freddie, I was wondering, what could I do?
Yeah.
What could I do? I was looking at everybody in the church. I heard Sister Becky and Joanne and Francine. They got up and sang, and probably some of the best singers in the country at that time was them White Oak. Ain't nobody. I'm telling you, White Oak had a trio, brother. They had sing and heaven had come down. And I thought, well, I can't do that. Old Robin Carter got up and began to lead the singing. I thought, I can't do that. Preacher got up and preached. No, I sure can't do that. It wasn't that Sunday morning, but it was the Wednesday night. Remember now, I just got saved Friday night. We came to church on Sunday morning, back on Sunday night. Wednesday night, my third time in church after being saved. Brother Frank Bird, who's in heaven now, he was a deacon and the bus director at the time. I was standing on that side, Brother Thomas, about where you are, about to head out the door, and me and Tim Noble were standing there talking. I'll never forget it. And Frank Bird walked up and stood right between me and Tim Noble, stuck his finger in my face, and said, your mama needs a bus driver, 7:30, Sunday morning, be there. He didn't ask me if I wanted to. He started to walk off, and I said, Brother Frank, I don't have a class, whatever it was, class 3, class 5. It's CDLs now, but back then it was a class. I said, I don't have a, he said, shh, don't say that real loud, be there, 7:30, Sunday morning. He said, something happens, don't call the police station, call us. And we got deputies in the church. Sure enough. You know what? I sat down on that bus that Sunday morning, and my mind flooded with memories about how a bus came and got me. Glenda, remember we went every Sunday, we was on that bus, and we sang together every week, the devil is a sly old fox, if I could, I'd put him in a box. You remember that? Put him in a box and throw away the key for all the dirty tricks he's played on me. I'm glad I got converted. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd sing all those songs. We'd go to church, and they had church laid out just for us. And Brother Charles would do magic tricks. You remember that? Oh, boy, what a heritage. I got on that bus, and my mind began to flood.
Amen.
And I thought, man, I'm getting to do what came got me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
I'd never driven nothing bigger than a pickup truck. That steering wheel seemed like it was that big around, boy. You could have knocked a smile off my face with a sledgehammer. I came up next week and put dual exhaust on my bus. Brother Clint, I know Randy remembers it. We'd back up, he'd go going down a hill, just let off the gas, he'd go, shoot fire out the tailpipes. Amen. I love driving my bus. You know what it was? I got saved, and now here's something I can do. I don't have any talent. I don't have any education. I don't have any great abilities, but I can drive that bus, and I can blow that horn, and I can pick up little boys for the honor and the glory of God and bring them to the house of God. There was something inside me that wanted to serve. Something inside me. There's something inside her that wanted to serve. Now, how did she serve? She went to glean. She went to pick up the leftovers of what others had left behind. Amen.
Amen.
Whether we realize it or not, we're going to glean somewhere every day. We're going into a field somewhere every day. You're going in a field tomorrow and you're going to glean.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All day long, our minds are filled. We're fed, and our minds are fed, and our hearts are fed with materials that this world's pumping out.
That's right.
Amen. Everything you hear, you get a little bit of it.
Yes, sir.
A little bit of it stays with you, whether you realize it or not. Everything you watch on television, stays with you, whether you realize it or not. A little bit of every movie, a little bit of every radio program, or every song you listen to, you're gleaning a little something from that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So point number one, we will all glean somewhere tomorrow.
Yeah.
In verses 1 and 2, she said, "Let me go and glean in one of the fields."
We're
all going to glean somewhere tomorrow. Each of us is going to glean, whether we realize it or not. We're going to be picking up things from others. We're not isolated. God never meant for us to be. That bunch that lives in a monastery, they're a bunch of kooks.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I just say it again. They're a bunch of kooks. A bunch of dress-wearing, robe-wearing kooks is all they are. Amen. God never called us to do that. God never called us to go live in a convent somewhere. How are you going to reach a world from a convent? How do you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if you never leave your convent? Amen. God didn't call us to do that. God didn't call us to all live together in one place and hide from the world. Amen. I was up in Ohio this past week preaching, and they carried me to the largest Amish settlement in America. I thought it was in Pennsylvania. It's outside Canton, Ohio. Absolutely humongous, absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But the weirdest bunch of people on the face of this planet.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, boy, I respect their lifestyle and I respect all of it, but them some weird folks.
Yeah.
Amen. They don't believe in electricity, but you see them riding down the road on their horse and buggy talking on cell phone.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
That's a backslid homage, is that what that is?
Yeah.
One of them had a telephone booth at the end of the driveway, and I thought, man, what's up with that? One of them had a brand spanking new John Deere tractor, but it had metal wheels on it. It's only a sin if you got rubber tires. I don't know. I ain't seen that in the Bible so far. I mean, they just got some strange mixed up way, and they're hiding from the world, and they want to be plain, and they want to be all this. Hey, man, God didn't call us to hide. God didn't call us to hoard up in little groups. Hey, God called us to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is not a hiding place. This is a refueling station. Amen. We don't come in here to hide. We don't come in here to hoard up. We're not a secret organization. It's not the Masonic Lodge. Amen. It's not a secret. We're not hiding in here tonight. We're gathering. We're just getting gas to go out tomorrow. We're getting what we need to go out yonder and do something for the Lord tomorrow. Hey, are you a witness on your job?
Come on, preacher.
Are you? The people, are you a closet Christian?
Yeah, come on.
We ought to have a coming out party.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Tommy just came out. Hallelujah. We ought to have a coming out party.
Yeah.
Amen. You're just somewhere on your job. Say, hey, just so you know, I'm a child of God.
Yes, sir.
And I don't appreciate that GD coming out of your mouth there 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you'd defend them for talking about your mama.
Yes,
that's how we used to start fights in school.
Sir.
We'd say, your mama's so fat, she wore a red dress. All the kids would holler, hey, Kool-Aid. Amen. We used to make all them jokes. That's how you start the fight.
Yeah.
Run somebody's mom in the ground. You run my mom in the ground, I'm whooping you. Amen. Well, what about my Savior? What about my God? What about my King? What about my Lord? Amen. His last name is not D-A-M-N. I believe preacher hit the nail on the head. Man, you can't get away with saying nothing about Allah or Muhammad. Amen. That's a hate crime. Hey, it's a hate crime. Hey, now they've made it legal to take the Lord's name in vain. GD on television. On primetime television. Isn't that bad? Now, that's horrible, man. They don't even bleep it.
That's
right. Something's wrong. Now, buddy, if they did that to a Muslim, you know, I've never heard them do that to another god. I've never heard MD of y'all.
No, sir.
I've never heard BD, Buddha.
Yeah, that's right.
Just always him, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, the Lord.
Something about him, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how I got off on all that. Some of us need to come out of the closet and say, hey, I'm a Christian, and that offends me.
Yeah, that's right.
I was down and stopped at our convenience store, and I'll tell you what, y'all can say about what you want to them, what you want to about them, but this little fella down here, not the one that works there now, but the Texaco right down here past the hospital, I remember several years ago when that guy, he had one arm, if y'all remember him, when he first bought that place, they had all that pornography right out there. As you come in the door, it was just right there. And I was in the store one night, and I said, man, I said, why don't you get rid of that stuff? He said, oh, I make money. I said, why don't you put it behind the counter? Why? I said, where kids can't see it. He said, oh, that's a good idea. And buddy, it's been behind the counter ever since.
Yeah.
But I was in there one night, and one of his cousins or whatever, I think they all can, one of his cousins, whoever it was, had just come over on the boat, I reckon, and he was standing behind the counter. And I was standing there waiting. I was getting my wife a Diet Coke. And he had this thing on the radio. Oh, la, yeah. It was prayers is what it was.
Yeah.
I stood there and I went, it just kept on and on and on. He's not going to turn around. I said, hey, you work here? He said, excuse me, I'll be right with you. I said, no, that offends me.
Yeah.
I said, that offends me. I'm Christian. I don't like that.
That's right.
I said, you want my money? I want to pay for his coke or I'm going somewhere else.
Amen.
He cut it off.
Amen.
He said, Brother Eddie, that's mean. They'd have done it.
Yes, sir.
They'd have sure done it.
Yes, sir.
We've got a little bit too soft in Christianity.
Yes, sir.
I'll never get to this message tonight. I am just, brother, I'm telling you, it's just really chapped me.
Yes, sir.
When they took our little Marine over there, who's supposed to be at home with his mom and daddy right now.
Yeah.
He's done his time. And then he's sitting there in plain clothes ready to go. And then they send him right back over there to guard one of them embassies over there.
Yeah.
And no matter what kind of fire bombs, and they're throwing rocks at them, Brother Greg. Can you believe it? They're standing there throwing rocks at our Marines, and they're not allowed to shoot.
Yes, sir.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Amen.
They got two choices in that situation. Turn the big dogs loose and let them eat, or bring them home.
Yes, sir.
I really have a message. I promise I do. Now listen, we're all going to glean somewhere. Amen. And we need to be careful where we glean. We need to be careful where we glean. You remember the song we sang as kids? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Little feet, where you go. Y'all remember that? Do you know that applies to grown-ups too?
Yes, sir.
As important as it is for our little children not to see filth on TV, we should.
That's right,
man. Amen. You know, I think one of the biggest problems with Christians today is listening to gossip, listening to talk that they ought not to talk. That they ought not. I don't think none of our women are going home and secretly got a porn stash nowhere.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think they're guilty of that. Boy, y'all died on me right there.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think that's a problem. But I think it's a problem that you're listening to people's gossip that you ought not to be listening
right,
to. Amen. And by the way, reading it's as bad as listening to it.
Yes, sir.
I ain't got a Facebook, never have had one, but if I did have, first lesson I want to learn is how do you call it, defriend?
Yes, sir.
Unfriend?
Amen.
I'd be unfriending somebody.
Yes, sir.
You listen to me careful. I don't hoard up in groups and let people run you in the ground.
That's right.
You ought not to hoard up in little computer groups and let people run me in the ground.
Amen.
Don't stick up for me. Just cut it off.
Amen.
You're gleaning. You're gleaning. I don't care if somebody tells you an all-out lie about somebody. You stay with me just a minute. I don't care if I preach this message or not. If somebody tells you an all-out lie about somebody, I know Stacy Bullock. I've known him pretty much our whole lives. If I made up this great big fat whopping story about Stacy, they did a fundraiser last week. If I made up this deal about how I watched him pocket the money and he really didn't give Brother Jason all that, you know what? If I just made it up because I'm mad at him. That's the way women do. Some of you guys are guilty up too, but these scorned women are the world's worst. I make up this big fat lie about Stacy, and Brother Sam loves Stacy, and I tell it to Brother Sam. I've hurt their relationship.
Yeah.
And Brother Sam looks me in the face and says, "Now, I don't believe that." But then he comes to church and he's sitting behind him. He's going, "Boy, I sure hope that ain't true. I sure hope that ain't true. Surely not." Then maybe Brother Sam sees Stacy lose his temper, which he's apt to do far too often. See Stacy get a little upset and go, boy, he shouldn't have acted like that. Boy, he might have took that money. Are y'all seeing where I'm going? I'm saying be careful where you glean, because you're going to glean in some field tomorrow. Amen. Remember years ago I preached a message about not selling firewood? But if you don't put no wood on the fire, it's going to go out. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, answer not a fool according to his folly.
That's right, preacher.
Amen. Somebody said, boy, you ought to get on there and fire this up. I ain't got time to fool them.
Amen.
That's nobody but Sanballat and Tobiah to me.
Yes,
amen. Trying to get me to come down from doing something. God ain't got time to fool with them.
Yes,
and neither should you.
Yes,
we're going to glean somewhere tomorrow. Listen, verse number 3. I want you to show you something. First, I'm going to hurry through this. The Bible said she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Her hap, she just happened in the right place. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to say this. There is a field available for you to glean in.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That you won't have to worry about what you pick up.
Yeah.
Are you listening? I said there's a field for you to glean in, and it's available, and you don't have to worry about what you're going to pick up. That's the field of the Word of God. You ain't got to worry about picking up some bad spirit out of here. Amen. You ain't got to worry about no false gossip in here.
Amen.
You know what I found out? Brother, if you'll fill your website with Scripture, you'll ward off some of them witches. Amen. You'll ward off some of that witchcraft. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, glean in the field of the Word of God. You know what I found out helps me? I'm in the truck by myself a lot. I love listening to preaching.
Amen.
I love listening to preaching. I got one preacher I listen to when I get hold of his tapes. He makes me mad. He does. I love him. I mean, boy, he's rough. I wouldn't have him preaching this pulpit. He's meaner than a two-headed water moccasin, man. I wouldn't have him preaching this pulpit. He says things. Y'all think I say stuff. This guy's. And we're buddies. I preach with him. But he ain't preaching here. But, boy, he's sure welcome in my truck. You know what he does? He calls me a low-down, sorry dog.
Yes, sir.
Or the bus tail wide open. I mean,
that's
brother,
right.
Just... I need that stuff
yes,
every now and then.
Sir.
He rips my head off,
yes,
buddy.
Sir.
Amen. Hey, you know what? I glean stuff from that.
Amen.
You know what happens? He'll preach one of them old hard messages. He uses words that I wouldn't use, but that's all right. I love him.
Amen.
Some of y'all know who I'm talking about, and you're grinning. But anyway, I love him with all my heart, man. I mean, boy, he's rough as a cob. You know what? He'll preach, and he'll bring conviction on your pastor.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. I need preaching, too. And you need preaching too. Hey, we ought to glean all we can glean from the Word of God. Let me show you how this, prove to you how this gleaning works. Have you ever gotten a conversation with somebody on the job?
Yes.
And they say, well, what about this? And all of a sudden, Scripture pops in your mind.
That's right.
You say, well, the Bible says, and you walk away and they go, wow, that guy knows his Bible.
Yeah.
And you walk away going, wow, I can't believe that was in me. Amen.
Yeah.
But God just brings that thing up. That's where you've been gleaning. Amen? That's where you've been gleaning. You ought to take some time and read your Bible every single day. Listen, we all going to glean somewhere. God's Word is available for us to glean. Now, thirdly, it's real simple tonight, and I'll get out of the way. Gleaning takes effort. It's hard work. Listen, when I'm home, I watch Bonanza every day. Every day, Little Joe and Hoss and Adam and Ben, I watch them every day. And I lust over Little Joe's paint horse. I watch him every day. Of course, old Coach E's probably dead and in the ground now. But anyway, I watch that show every day. I never have to make myself do that. I never am out there cutting grass and sweat pouring and going, man, it's 4 o'clock. I got to go watch Bonanza. Man, I don't want to do this. My wife calls, what are you doing? Watching Bonanza. Come on, y'all with me?
Yeah,
I don't have to make myself do that. But I have to make myself get in this book.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't watch my watch going, oh, yeah, it's almost time. I get to go read my Bible.
Amen.
It takes effort.
Yes, sir.
It don't take any effort at all to cut little Joe on.
Yes,
but it takes some effort to open that book right there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know what? You know what happens? I start reading, I get sleepy.
Yeah.
I don't care what time of day it is. Yeah. It don't matter. And I try to read in the morning. I start reading my Bible. I'm talking about half a chapter in.
Yeah.
Am I the only one walking in a body of flesh around here? Rest of y'all lying.
Yeah.
I know you ain't that spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I have to do? I have to fight past that thing.
Yes, sir.
I'd say, hey, God, hey, help me with this sleep issue. I'm going to grab me a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Y'all get them monster things and energy drinks. Brother Rusty said, I'll stand up. There you go.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes,
sir. Try reading it on your knees, friend. It takes effort to glean in this field.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All that other stuff, all the gleaning that you don't need takes no effort whatsoever.
That's right, sir.
It doesn't take any effort for me to read the Georgia Sportsman.
Yeah.
American Whitetail, Hunter, it don't bother me. The Paint Horse Journal doesn't bother me. I just pick that up at will, buddy. Just.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, it takes some work to glean in there.
That's right.
It takes some work to glean in there.
Amen.
Y'all know me. I love bluegrass gospel music. And I've got a truck full of it out there. Boy, sometimes it'd be easier just listen to some of that singing. And ain't nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But I need preaching.
Amen.
Amen. If singing's all you get, you got an unbalanced diet.
That's right, preacher.
When I grew up, there's a crowd around here, Brother Atkins. They used to have Saturday night singings. You remember those? They had Saturday night singings. They'd have different gospel groups come in, and they'd stay till around midnight. Wasn't there one of them people go to church on Sunday morning?
That's right, preacher.
But they'd show up for that Saturday night singing. Man don't live by singing alone, amen.
Amen?
But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need preaching.
Yes,
amen. You need preaching. I need preaching. We all need preaching.
Yes,
amen. And sometimes I give out and give out and give out. I preach more than a lot of people do. I don't mean that in a bragging way. This past week, I preached probably 6 times, I guess, somewhere in that neighborhood. But you know what I mean? In some meetings, especially, boy, when I was preaching for Brother Fisher, they'd preach me 4 or 5 times in one day. They knew everything I knew after one day. I said, that's it. I'm done. I have to come back next year when I learn something else. Amen. But you give out and give out and give out. You better find a place where you get some back in.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to find out you have nothing left to give out?
That's right, preacher.
Amen. You better go back and glean some. Hey, we're going to glean somewhere tomorrow. God's field is available for us. The field of His Word is available for us to glean in.
Amen.
And gleaning takes effort. It takes effort. Let me tell you what you get out of your Christian life. What you put in it.
Yeah, that's right.
You get out of your Christian life what you put in. Listen, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just saying, those folks that only come on Sunday morning, they don't come to Sunday school, never have been in Sunday school, I'm telling you, they're missing something.
Yes, amen.
They're missing something in their Christian life. Amen? Because you get out of this thing what you put into it.
That's right.
Amen? Listen, it takes effort. It takes effort. Listen, now we ought to be careful. Look at verse 8 and 9. Ruth knew she had wound up in a good place. Amen.
Yes,
then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Listen, we need to be careful that we remain in the right field.
Yes, sir.
We need to be careful that we remain in the right field. Boaz said, don't go to another field.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I want you to stay right here. You see what Boaz was saying, thinking and saying in his heart, I'm going to take care of you.
That's right, preacher.
If you'll stay in my field,
yeah.
I'm going to take care of you.
Amen.
We get in trouble when we go to the wrong field.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We've got some trying to glean out of a wrong field.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody said, do you think somebody could be saved by using the scripture from the NIV? I do. I do. Boy, some of y'all look at me goofy. I said, I do. But it's the wrong field. It's the wrong field. Do you think somebody can be saved in a contemporary church? I do. Listen, I'll be the first to admit, I give Joel Osteen fits. I give the poor fella fits. Somebody ought to. I'd rather hear his wife preach. Amen.
Amen.
And she's pretty gun barrel straight, buddy. Amen. When Oprah interviewed him the other day, she asked him about gay marriages, and she didn't let. I saw her. She squeezed his knee, and she jumped in ahead of him. Amen. She said the Bible says it's a sin. I said, there you go, sis. Old Joel just sat over and grinned. Amen. She's telling it right, brother. I said, yeah, there you go. Anyway. I had a man tell me, he's in Brother Tony Shirley's church. I had a man tell me, just nice as he could be, it's Brother Ken, the song leader, it's his dad. His dad, at the end of one of Osteen's services, he prayed the prayer, and he'd tell you straight up, he got saved right there.
Yeah.
What do you say to that, Brother Eddie? I say, amen.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
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 But if that's the field you're gleaning in, you're missing something.
Amen.
Amen. I've heard Benny Hinn preach a straight salvation message.
Yes, sir.
I've heard Benny Hinn preach a blood of Calvary, son.
Yes, sir.
But it's the wrong field.
That's right.
Amen. Just because you can get something good out of it doesn't mean you can't get something bad out of it. There's more to it. We need to make sure we stay in the right field. It's like the lady told my mother and I yesterday. I was trying to be careful. I was on the radio this morning. We were at the bank. And the lady, my mom asked her where she went to church, and she said. And she said, now, this is what she said. She said, now, I didn't grow up that way. She said, when I went to church, women wore dresses. My mom was, amen, amen. You know how mama is. Mom was preaching to her. She said, we didn't have all this contemporary music. She said, preacher only used the King James Bible. She said, now, that's the way I grew up. She said, but my children. She said, the only way I can get them to go to church is to go over here where we go. And she named the name of the place. She said, they like the music.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say so bad, lady, do you ask them where they want to go to school?
Yeah.
That's right.
Do they get a choice there?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what's best for them there? Are you okay?
Yeah.
In other words, what she was saying was, I grew up with the right stuff. But I'm going to spoil my kids with stuff that will rot their teeth out.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I grew up in the right field, and I know what's right. Whose responsibility was it to teach them?
Yes, sir.
I can just see my mama when I was a teenager. If I said, I don't like White Oak anymore. I'm going to Methodist church. I'd have went with a big fat lip, amen.
Yes, sir, amen.
She didn't ask me where I wanted to go.
Amen.
It wasn't a question.
Right.
I'd have a girlfriend. So I want to go to church with my girlfriend. Nope. You going to White Oak. You tell her to come over here.
Yeah.
It wasn't that my mama thought there was better churches anywhere. She just didn't want me to get messed up somewhere.
That's right.
Amen. Let's be sure we glean in the right field. I let Levi, when he was little, and Robbie, our nephew, he's in heaven now. But Levi and Robbie went to another church over in Dallas for their vacation Bible school. They were little fellas. How old were y'all, Levi? Maybe seven or so, somewhere in that neighborhood. They're in their Bible school class. And the teacher gets up and starts reading. She gets about a verse in. Levi and Robbie both sitting there going. So she finally looks over and she said, can I help y'all boys? They said, that ain't right. She said, what ain't right? Your Bible. That ain't what the Bible said. She said, well, I'm reading from a different version. Robbie said, still ain't right. And they weren't trying to be disrespectful. They just knew that this was the Word of God and wasn't nothing wrong with it. And that lady's book wasn't reading like their book. And they said, hey, trying to help you teach. You got the wrong book.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen. I thought it was funny, but at the same time, I thought, buddy, we've put something in there.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Amen. We've taught them not to glean in the wrong field. Let's make sure we stay in the right field. Listen, when you gather up at work and that guy's telling a filthy joke, you're in the wrong field.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, ladies, I won't stay here but a minute. This is one of my pet peeves when it comes to women. Somebody said, Brother Eddie hates women. Somebody said that about me. I said, you're an idiot. I love women. I married one. Amen. Listen, women love to get around in a little circle and talk about their husband. You ought not do that. You're in the wrong field.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What happens behind doors in your house ain't nobody's business.
That's right, preacher.
Is that okay? Is that too plain? I can make it plainer. Amen. I used to hate to go to work and a bunch of men sit around and start talking about their wives. Oh, man. That ain't none of nobody's business, friend. You're in the wrong field.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, me and my wife may have an argument, we may have a disagreement, but you won't never know about it.
That's
right, preacher. Amen. She may call me a low-life living dog and other things go along with that, but you won't never know about it.
That's right, preacher.
You know why? It ain't none of your business.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Gleaning in the wrong field.
Yes, sir.
I wish Facebook would explode.
Amen.
I'm serious, so hard as that. But brother, there's some good things. I know there is. But now the bad outweighs the good.
Yes, sir.
I wish it would blow up.
Yes, sir.
I believe we could live without computers.
Amen.
We did before.
Yes, sir.
Get you a pencil and a piece of paper and figure it out. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine how these poor girls at McDonald's? You reckon you'd ever get the right change? Or cheese on your quarter pounder. She'd be going, let's see. Da, 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 da. Here, you get what you need. Amen. It'd be more like that, wouldn't it? Amen. But I'm serious. Be careful where you're gleaning. Be careful where you're gleaning. I'm not going to hang out with people who's running you in the ground.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to do it. Sometimes I had to do this a while back. There's a lady in our church who used to be related to a lady that I happened to be sitting in a hospital with. She was there to see somebody else that I was there to see. And she started running one of our church members in the ground. In a bad way. And she knows I'm the pastor here. And I thought, you evil woman.
Yes, sir.
I come to be a blessing to this lady about to have surgery. And you fix to make me tell you off right here in front of her. About that time, the one fixing to have surgery raised up and said, won't you hush your mouth?
Amen.
I said, thank you. Brother, it bothers me.
Yes, sir.
It grieves my spirit.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because I love you.
Amen.
Even when what they're saying about you is true.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know that, but I love them anyway.
Amen.
Amen. They ain't got no perfect people in this church.
That's right.
That's right.
Be careful where you glean. Make sure you choose to stay in the right field. Now watch this. When we make up our mind where we're going to glean, we make sure we're going to glean in the field of the Word of God. We realize that it takes effort and we don't mind putting a little effort. Watch what happens in verse number 15. I'm almost done. I'll get you out of here. The Bible said, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. In other words, let her glean where we ain't even picked yet. And reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her.
Amen.
And leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not.
Yes.
Boaz said, boy, she sure is faithful.
Yeah.
She sure is working hard. Hey, boys. Throw one in the picker and one on the ground.
Yes, sir.
Leave some handfuls behind.
Amen.
On purpose. Sure. You ever feel like God's done that for you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Just left you some handfuls of purpose.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I've got a set of books somewhere in my library, Brother Charles. That's the title of them, Handfuls of Purpose. Amen. You know what? We glean. We go out, we handed out 6,000 tracts somewhere in that neighborhood in the parade a couple of weeks ago. Next Saturday, they're going to have the fundraiser here for Amy Copeland. We're going to be a blessing to this town. We're going to love on them. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And you know what God will do? He'll come by and drop us some handfuls on purpose.
Amen.
Somebody say, I get discouraged. I go out visiting, and everybody I invite don't come. I had 3 people in that parade look me in my eyeball and promise me, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
It ain't got here yet. Because they ain't showed up yet.
Yes, sir.
Not a one of them. None of them. And one guy was, dead serious. I just knew just sure as I was coming, he is coming. He didn't come.
Yeah. Amen.
He didn't call neither and say, brother, I'm sorry I lied to you. He promised. He said, I promise you, I'll be there in the morning. He didn't show up. I didn't cry. I didn't get upset. You know why? I invited 3 people personally to be in church with me on Sunday morning last week. I sat here on the platform. I was looking for them. And I couldn't find a single one of them. But you know what I did find? 3 more.
Yeah.
3 more that I'd never met that I didn't invite.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, God sends those that needs to be here.
That's right.
Amen. You know what he does? Hey, I saw your effort. I saw you out there trying to glean in my field. Here's some handfuls on purpose.
Sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Good.
And usually he'll let me see one of them get saved. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? He'll give us some handfuls on purpose. Listen, verse number 17. I'm just about done. Verse number 17. The Bible said, so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Listen, gleanings brings reward. Gleaning brings reward. When we glean in God's field, and we glean in God's word. By the way, out yonder, he said the fields are white and ready in the harvest.
That's right.
That is God's field. Amen?
Yes, sir.
When we glean in his field and we make sure we ain't in the wrong field and we're doing the right thing and in the right way, God rewards it.
Amen.
God rewards it. Now, we don't do this for reward.
That's right.
But we are rewarded for what we do.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Here, I don't know how many more Sundays, Levi. When's the bus kids coming in? October 21st. Man, I wish it was next Sunday. Them bus kids will come in, all 100 and something of them, and they'll parade down through here. And you know what that does? I know we're going to be rewarded in heaven, but I get a little reward here too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's right.
When those little kids surround me and I can't move because they're hugging me and telling me they love me, oh, brother.
Yeah.
That's reward.
Yeah.
And that makes it worth it all. Amen? I just tell you, it's rewarding serving God.
Yes,
it is. I'm getting to preach to people now that I was at the hospital when this born. I'm getting old enough now, I'm marrying some of them. Amen. I'm marrying some of them. Little old Elena, they was at the house the other day for Jonah's birthday party, where Blake was, and I've got a picture in my office. When Elena graduated from kindergarten, I presented her diploma. I've got another picture where Elena's graduating from high school, and I presented her diploma. Now, hopefully, in a few months, I'll have another picture. I don't know. They hadn't asked me to marry them, but I'm sure probably me and Brother Shay will both have a part. I don't know. You're pointing at Brother Freddie's doing it. Ha-ha, good. I'm handing her a license, bless God. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding, brother. But seriously, that is a blessing to get to be a part of that. Amen.
Yeah.
It's rewarding. It's rewarding. Amen. Listen, now, when we glean, in verse number 18, watch this. I'm going to quit right here. You said that a while ago. No, I didn't. I said, I'm about done. The Bible said, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. When we glean in God's field, we ought to share what we glean with somebody else.
Amen.
We ought to share what we glean with somebody else. Amen. Ruth serving. It's a privilege to serve God. Sometimes it seems like a duty, but just keep doing it till you enjoy it again. I love it. I do. I love it. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you going anywhere this week?" No. Well, I am Thursday night. Thursday night. Anybody wants to go? I'm going to, where's Brother Scott Wright's church in Alabama? Gadsden? Other side of Gadsden. Going to other side of Gadsden Thursday night. Preach for Brother Scott Wright at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. So, you know, those weeks that I hadn't got somewhere to go, I've got plenty to do here. I've got people that are sick and people to go see. I'm telling you, it's exciting serving God. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Now, whose field you going to glean in tomorrow?
Yeah.
Whose field? It's your choice.
Yeah.
God doesn't force feed you.
Right.
Never has, and he never will.
Right.
You're going to choose to glean somewhere tomorrow. And it's up to you where you glean. God will let you glean right here if you want to.
Yes.
Amen. You say, "I don't get nothing out of it when I read the Bible." Pray and ask the Lord to help you.
Amen.
Amen. I've taken a chapter or a portion of Scripture that just really makes me scratch my head and say, "God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me, because, God, that don't make a lick of sense."
Yeah.
I don't even know why you put that in there. I really guess, because I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these people, you ask me a Bible question I don't know, I'll tell you. I ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
I'm past all that trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
That's why I asked Brother Freddie. That's why I asked Brother Charles. I ain't got a clue, man. Amen. But you know what? God will open up his word to you.
Amen.
If you want it, he'll do it. Where will we glean tomorrow? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Sister Janice, if you come get us a song, we'll have a verse invitation. Lord willing, we'll go to the house. Amen.